You are now listening to the Way to Go Youth Podcast with Pastor Jerome Baker. This podcast is an outreach of A Place of Refuge Church located in Carrollton, Georgia, where the pastor is Bishop Barry Walker. Our vision is to help youth and young adults to be productive in every aspect of life according to God's Word. Now, let's receive Pastor Baker with today's message. You are listening to The Way to Go.
If you notice my notes, as a young person that is striving to be productive in every aspect of life, we must make sure that we notice, find things of value in life and apply them to how we think, talk, and act. You need to be the type of young man or young woman that adds value to your life, especially when the value is connected to God. Help me say that. Say, I must find value and add it to my life. Let me show you how the Bible puts it. Follow me to Matthew 13. You've got to find value and add it to your life. Notice, if you will, Matthew 13 and 44. And it reads, "And again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden where? In a field, which a man found, and what did he do? He hid it. And for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field." The man found a hidden treasure that was valuable. And it was so valuable to him, he went and sold everything he had just so he could buy that field, so he could have what was valuable. And the scripture says that's how the kingdom of heaven is, young people. You have to find value and then add it to your life. And I believe and know that the most valuable thing here on earth is God's word. I said it's God's word. You always need to consider how valuable God's word is and make sure that you are selling out and applying it to your own life. If you know I'm right, somebody shout, "He right about it." Today we're going to look at something of value that is found in a proverb. That is where we're going to search out our value this morning. It's going to be in a proverb, a simple, short saying. But I want you to remember that when it comes to biblical proverbs, a proverb contains two particular things of value. A number of things it contains, but two on this morning I want to highlight. Two valuable things we can find in a proverb. Are you with me? The first valuable thing that we can find in a proverb is truth. Truth. When you read proverbs that are found in God's scripture, it is going to reveal or unlock truth that you can apply to your life. What is truth? A good definition of truth is found in John 17, 17, where Jesus says that thy word is truth. So when someone asks you, or you need the definition of truth, According to John 17:17, what is truth? The word. Jesus even defined himself as truth in John 14:6. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And of course, Jesus is also the word. Because in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God. And then the Bible talks about how the word became flesh and dwelt among us. So shout this out. Say, the word is true. Truth is so valuable, it sanctifies. It will clean you up. Clean up your mindset. Clean up your soul. Clean up your actions. It will set us aside so God can use us. We want to be in a place to where we are sanctified so God can use us at school, work, or wherever. We want to be holy. And David said, how can a young man cleanse his way or his life? And he said, by taking heed to the word, which is truth. Whenever you find yourself messing up, you need the truth to clean you up. I said, the truth will get you right. Am I talking right? Yeah, it gets me right time and time again. Even though it offends me sometimes, it steps on my toes. I need the truth. The truth sanctifies. And the truth, young folk, causes salvation. I said the truth causes salvation. The truth will protect us, deliver us, and prosper us. And we see that in John 8:32. Jesus was talking to some believing Jews, and he said, and the truth will make you free. The truth will make you free. When you have habits that you know you have no business partaking of, it's the truth that can make you free from them bad habits. It's the truth that can deliver you from a negative or depressed attitude. It's the truth that can help you in every aspect of your life. So what's the first value that we find in a proverb? Truth. Say it like you're excited. What's the first value we find in a proverb? The second value we find in a proverb is righteousness. Truth and righteousness. Righteousness, according to Romans 1:17, is what's holy and revealed by God. When we come to church and we hear the word, that's righteousness coming forth in the form of faith. It's being revealed. God is using the minister, using the pastor, using the praise team to reveal his righteousness. And righteousness can be in a song form. Righteousness can be in a testimony. And it's shown enough in the message. And righteousness is what we need to live by. The righteousness of God is revealed, the Bible says, from faith to faith. So when righteousness comes forth, that's what we live by. The music sounds good, but we live by the word. We live by righteousness. It's revealed from faith, help me, to faith. Are y'all with me, young people? Now get this. Righteousness is going to come forth, but you got to want it. You got to have a hunger and a thirst for righteousness. You got to wake up every day saying, Lord, I want you to reveal your righteousness to me. I want you to reveal it to me when I pray. Reveal it to me when I read your word. Reveal it to me when I listen to a message. When I come to church, I just can't wait to get to church because you're going to reveal something that I need to help me to prosper. I want it, Lord. I don't know how they feel on my row. I don't know how they feel in my section, but I'm hungry and I'm thirsting for some righteousness. Have you ever had the mindset, I got to hear from God? I need something to get me out this rut. I need something to help me deal with these battles. I need something to help me to fight these spirits. I need something to help make my marriage better. It's going to come in the form of righteousness, but you got a hunger and you got a thirst for it. See, when you hungry and thirsty for righteousness, you're going to give God a praise. When you hungry and thirsty for righteousness, you're going to be attentive to the word and you're going to get what God has for you and you're going to leave here putting it into action. You're going to do that when you have a hunger and a thirst for righteousness. And you're not going to let anything or anybody take the word out of your heart. You hungry for it. You may be going through trials. You may be going through hardship. You may be having some problems in your life. But when you hunger for righteousness, you're going to strive to hold on to it and put it into action. Am I talking about anybody in here? And because you are young, let me say this. Your appetite needs to be great. Yeah, you got all this energy. You need to show up hunger and thirst for righteousness. Quit acting like you old. Quit acting like you a senior. You need to show God that you are hungry and thirsty for his righteousness. Tell somebody we need to hunger and thirst for righteousness. Are y'all with me? So what are the two valuable things we find in a proverb? And? Say it again. And truth is the word. Righteousness is revealed. And righteousness is what we should live by. Somebody is paying attention. Am I right? Today's proverb is going to reveal truth and righteousness about a fool. It's going to reveal truth and righteousness about a fool. A fool is simply a stupid person. They're ignorant. They can be ignorant or stupid from the point to where they just don't know. Or a person can be ignorant or stupid because they know, but they just don't wanna do what they know. Either way, you can define that person as being foolish. A fool enjoys silliness, dumb stuff. A fool enjoys sin. And a fool, when you consider scripture, will not submit to instructions. You can tell them all day what they need to do. They may agree with you, but they're not gonna do it. Let's go ahead and get this out the way. How many have ever been a fool before? Yeah, all of us probably. But you have to be or have the mindset, young people, to where you grow to the point to where you say, I'm putting foolishness away. I'm going to stop with this silly stuff. I'm going to stop with the childishness. I'm going to mature. Remember, a fool loves silliness, sin, and they will not submit to instructions. Lord have mercy. You can be an old fool. And you can be a young fool. I don't want any of us to be a fool. That should be a goal in your life. I'm not going to be a help me fool. And I'm trying to help somebody. I don't want y'all to fight this word. I want you to receive it. Anybody want some help on this morning? I don't want you to be a foolish young girl, a foolish young man, or an adult. No, no, no. You got to have in your mindset, I'm not going to be a fool for nobody. But in order to help us, I got to deal with it some more. And so for the remainder of the message, what I want to do is I want to talk about foolish ways. And I specifically want to teach us four foolish ways on this morning. As the Spirit of the Lord has led me. because there are more than four foolish ways. But for the sake of time, we're only going to deal with four. Y'all with me? All right, y'all done got quiet in that back seat. Y'all back there? All right. Let's go to Proverbs 15. Proverbs 15. Four foolish ways. Number one, Proverbs 15. And notice, if you will, verse number five. Solomon says, a fool despises his father's instruction, but he who receives correction is prudent. I'm primarily concerned with the first part. A fool despises his father's instruction. Now, remember, it's a proverb. A short statement that reveals truth and righteousness. The father that he is speaking about in the text is not your paternal father or your natural father, your daddy. The father that he is speaking of is a shepherd, is a pastor. And here Solomon says that, look, a fool despises his pastor's instructions or messages. See, Paul later said, look, to prove that he's talking about a pastor, he said, in this life, you're going to have, or you may have, 10,000 instructors. But you'll only have one father. He was talking about, you're going to hear people, or a whole lot of people, teach you the word. But you're only going to have one pastor. And this is amazing to me because it lets me know that a fool come to church. A fool has, or some fools have, a pastor. They come to service week in and week out. But look at the fool in the text. They despise or they hate the pastor's messages or instructions. That's primarily how we get instructions from the pastors, through a message. God indirectly uses the shepherd to speak to us, to instruct us, to direct us. But if a person is in the seat of a fool, they can be sitting in the chair acting like they're receiving, but they're rejecting. Listening, but already have their mind made up that they're not going to do what they hear. Or they may hear certain messages and like that, but then other messages, they don't like. They hate it. They despise it. And how many know when you hate something, you usually don't want to deal with it? Am I right about it? I said when you hate certain things in life, you don't want to deal with. I do not like pecan ice cream. I don't. I can't stand it. I don't care if it's Bluebell, Mayfield, or no name brand. My wife can say it's so good. And so look, I don't want to have nothing to do with no pecan ice cream. Now come talk to me about some turtle tracks. Come talk to me about some vanilla bean, and I might can get on board. But if I don't like it, if I hate it, I'm going to reject it. And that's what a fool does. They'll come to church, but they're not going to do that word. You be thinking they following you in the Bible app, but they doing another app. Why? They hate that word. They don't want to hear that message. And I got to ask is, have you ever been there before? Woo! First Lady was the first one to publicly admit she been there. What about the rest of us? Have you ever been there before? Yeah. There are going to be messages. It's not personal as far as your relationship with the pastor, but you can't get in your feelings, or you shouldn't get in your feelings and just reject the word. The word is sent to help us. The word is sent to help sanctify us, get us in a place to where God can not only use us, but can bless us. But you're going to have times. It's going to be messages. You don't need to get in your feelings. Because when you get in your feelings, remember what Paul said. Those that get in their flesh, they cannot please God. And so sometimes that word going to come and it's going to deal with you. It's going to really show you your faults, your shortcomings, and it's just going to prick that heart. But don't get in the seat of the fool where you start hating that word. Where you say, I just really don't want to hear that. Oh, I'm not going to receive that. That is foolish. And we've been in God too long to get like that. Would y'all agree? Yeah, we've been in God too long to get on that dumb stuff. Am I right about it? You got to soldier up sometime. You got to learn how to take them hard words, them hard messages, because it's only sent to help us to be better, to be a better leader, to be a better servant, to be a better husband, to be a better business person. Whatever area we come up short, somebody shout, the word comes to make us better. That's right. So don't get foolish. Don't get foolish. Don't draw back. Go ahead, Lord. Have your way. Correct me, Lord. I receive this love because how many know those whom the Lord loves, he corrects. He chastens. And I have seen young people. And I'm ministering the word and I'm knowing this for so-and-so. God will just deal with me. This for so-and-so. And you can tell they fighting it. And they not receiving it. That's foolish. Don't do that. Y'all help me say, I don't need to do that. Yeah, part of your maturity is learning how to receive the word when it's sure enough hurting you. It's part of your maturity. Are y'all with me? All right. So what does a fool hate in this first point? No, not just instructions. Their fathers. Pastoral instructions. And let me go ahead and say this, since you put it on my heart. Sometimes your pastor would deal specifically with issues that God has revealed that you're struggling with. Won't put your name on it in the message, but you got the Holy Ghost, and you be knowing, he talking about me. And sometimes he used me, and I have no idea who it's for. And I just may be looking at your section, and you thinking I'm pulling, making it personal. No, I'm not making it personal. I'm just allowing God to use me to instruct us. How many understand by show of hands? All right. Let's go to Proverbs 18. That point was for somebody. I said that point was for somebody. Proverbs 18. Again, we're talking about foolish ways. Verse number 7. A fool's mouth is his or her destruction. And his or her lips are the snare of his soul. This is a powerful verse. A fool misuses his or her mouth. A fool, their mouth is their own destruction. Now, we know the devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy. You would think he'd say the devil is what causes a fool to be destroyed, but not so. Not from the wisdom Solomon gathered. He said, no, a fool misuses their mouth. They mess up their own life. They curse themselves. They constantly say what they can't do. They constantly say, well, if I'm lucky. Lucky? You blessed. What do you mean if you're lucky? You're messing up your own life. Causing ruin to come your way. Well, I guess God didn't hear my prayer. You just cursed yourself. when the Bible says his ears are open to the righteous. Well, maybe it ain't gonna work. What do you mean, maybe it ain't gonna work? All of the promises of God in him are yes, and has your mouth ever messed you up? Listen, young people, James said the mouth is powerful, the tongue is powerful. He asked, who can tame it? Who can control it? With the help of the Holy Spirit, we can watch the words that we speak. But it has to be a part of your mindset. I got to control this mouth. I got to quit saying stuff that's messing myself up. Let me go ahead and pause and take another poll. How many ever messed up yourself with your own mouth? More than one time. Yeah. Man, I'm struggling. I'm broke. Why you say that? I don't know if we're going to be able to go. I ain't got it. You got to watch the words that you speak. Death, young people, and life is in the power of the tongue. And you're going to eat whatever fruit from the words that you say. That's how your life is going to be framed. You're going to be satisfied by what you say. Man, I ain't going to never get married. Well, you said it. You said it. Man, I may not graduate on time. Well, you said it. You said it. And his lips, look at this, are a snare to his own soul, a life. You can hinder your own blessings with the words that you, with the words you and I say. This mouth is powerful. You remember, the mouth is so powerful, words are so powerful, everything we see was formed by the word. Jesus said, let it be. The Father said, let it be. And guess what? It was. You got that same power. You can bless yourself or you can curse yourself. You need to make it a priority to have a list of scriptures that you speak over your own life, young folk. You need to wake up every day and you need to have certain verses that you just decree over your life. Jesus, you came that I might have life and have it more abundantly. I'm going to have life today. I'm going to have it no matter what comes my way. Lord, you said all things work together for my good. You know, this right here, I can't see my way out, but you said in your word, it's going to work out. And it's going to work out for my good. You got to learn how to use this mouth the way God intended it. But if you're a fool, you misuse your mouth. I just don't know. I don't know. I don't know. Now you're in a state of confusion because you done prophesied to yourself. I don't know. You're just lost. Maybe it will, maybe it won't. That don't sound like no surety, do it? You got to be careful. A fool misuses their what? Their mouth. I got to show you this. Y'all stay with me. Let's go to Proverbs 17. I got to show you this. Let me expound on this point. Because I want you to be more conscious of the words that you speak. Notice Proverbs 17:7. And I just want to look at this verse in addition to Proverbs 18:7. Look at Proverbs 17:7. Excellent speech is not becoming to who? A fool. Try it again. Excellent speech is not becoming to a what? Much less lying lips to a prince. The first part, excellent speech is not becoming to a what? Fool. Proper speech don't matter to a fool. When a fool here teaching like this, they still don't make no adjustments. They don't see that having acceptable or excellent speech is proper. It's a good thing. It's beneficial. Sometimes it's best to say nothing before you utter the wrong thing. But a fool don't care. They'll just say anything. And he talks about a lie, but how many know sometimes we can say some dumb stuff? So you have to make it your point to have excellent speech. It don't mean necessarily talking proper, and we should talk proper, right? Yeah, we should enunciate and pronunciate our words. But the excellent speech he's talking about is that which is proper or godly, that which is correct. You have to learn how to use your mouth the right way. Even when it comes to the music you listen to, you got to be careful about the lyrics that you recite. Sometimes you're cursing yourself over the music that you sing to yourself. I had to get to that point where I said, man, what is this song saying? And what am I saying over my life? I'm sitting up here singing this song, and this ain't lining up with scripture. I'm coming up the rough side. Now I say, hold up now. Let me quit singing this. I ain't coming up no rough side of no mountain. I've had some good days. I've had some hills to climb. No, I ain't supposed to be climbing no hill. Jesus said, I'm supposed to speak to the hill. Speak to the mountain. Y'all ain't never heard that song. Y'all didn't pick it up. Y'all need me to sing it to you. See, y'all ain't right. Y'all something else. But how many see that a fool misuses his mouth? How many got to be more careful about the words you say? Or am I just teaching to myself this morning? All right. Proverbs 20:3. Oh, Lord, I'm finna come in the living room and sit on the couch and put my foot on the coffee table. Notice Proverbs 20:3. I'm gonna make my home on this verse right here. It is honorable, Proverbs 20:3, for a man to stop striving or fighting, since any fool can start a quarrel. See, a fool loves to fight. A fool loves to start fights and mess and just stir up stuff. A fool loves to instigate. Love to get stuff going. And see, this is important in a church setting. We don't need the young men and young women of God breaking up the unity by starting no mess. Keeping up mess. Because that's what a fool does. A fool loves to quarrel. You ever met somebody like that? They just love to get stuff going. They love to, it's like they get pleasure in seeing folk go at it. And I've learned in life, you just love, it's some people, they love to argue. I mean, they want to argue. And sometimes about the smallest thing. That's foolish. That's silly. Y'all too quiet. I got any folk in here that like that kind of thing? That's foolishness. Just love to argue with mama over the smallest little thing. Love to argue with your siblings over the dumbest stuff. Love to argue with folks, start fights, and just love to have a last word. Just that foolishness. That's not a good trait. For a man, and especially for a woman. Now my sisters ain't saying nothing. I said, that ain't no good trait for a man, but especially a woman of God. Just love to argue. Love to just, what'd you say, Sister V? Just keep it going. We done got together. We done had our argument. You said your piece. I said my piece. We said it's over. An hour later, you bringing it up again. That's that dumb stuff. I thought we said this was over and done with. You gotta be careful. Don't want to be no fool. Not just don't want to be a fool, young folk, but I'm teaching it like this because on this journey in life, you're going to have fools cross your path, and you need to be able to identify them. You need to be able to identify them when you go to school, on a team, at work, family reunion. One of the first things in your mind is that you need to be able to spot a troublemaker. You need to be able to discern where the fool at. where the fool at. And once you determine a fool, you need to keep your distance from them. Even in the church, you're going to have some folk, they just foolish. Say, love the Lord. But they either reject the pastor's messages, don't use their mouth the right way, or they like to start stuff. And once you recognize a fool, leave them alone. Paul said it like this to one church. Y'all still with me? He said, you need to avoid folk in the church that cause division and offenses. People that start problems. You always have to know how to identify a fool on your team, in your family, and even in the church. And once you identify a fool, don't be no friend with them. Don't be a companion of a fool, because you're going to mess yourself up. So you need to not only be a fool, but know how to identify. Y'all ain't saying nothing, but this is some good teaching. Our fourth foolish way is our main verse. It's where Solomon describes a fool and compares him or her to a dog. Yeah, he describes a fool in our verse to have behavior like a dog. Now, we know in our culture, dogs are beloved, and if we just tell the truth, even worshiped. You got some folk, they love their dog. And in some instances, you see people that love dogs more than they do people. There are some people, when they die, they leave their inheritance to their dog. Like the dog gonna be able to do something with it. Dogs are loved so much, many people call them man's best friend. Isn't that amazing? A dog is man's best friend. What happened to the Holy Spirit or God being man's best friend? But in our culture, dogs. In scripture, it was other animals. They worshiped cows. They loved them. They made statues of them. But in our day and time, we see people worshiping, help me, dogs. And dogs have various uses, as you notice my notes. They got good or positive attributes and negative. Dogs are used for security, work. They even got to the point to where now they use dogs for emotional support. They got signs, no dogs allowed except for sight dogs, seeing our dogs, and dogs for emotional support. I said, man, what is a dog going to do for emotional support? When Jesus said, I gave you the comforter, the Holy Spirit that would always be with you, but people done replaced that and said, we need a dog to give us emotional support. Now, he doesn't use the dog in this text, young people, in a positive standpoint. He brings out a negative trait. Now, let me back up and say, is there anything wrong with having a dog and being affectionate to your dog? No. Just don't worship them or put them above God. Even the Bible teaches a righteous man takes care of his animal. Okay? But in our text, y'all still with me? Solomon brings out a negative trait of the dog and compares him to a fool. Look at it. As a dog in Proverbs 26 and 11 returns to his own vomit, so a fool repeats his folly. See, a fool repeats sin. They start practicing it. They keep doing it. They keep doing silly stuff or stuff that they know they have no business doing. That's what we see. A fool repeats. It ain't that they got no struggle. They're choosing to go do it. You know it's killing you, but you're choosing to keep doing it. It's going to give you cancer, lung cancer, if you keep smoking that, but they keep doing it. You can get locked up for that, but they keep doing it. You can get killed, but they keep doing it. A fool repeats his own folly. And he says, just like a dog that returns to his own, Lord have mercy, to his own what? His own vomit. Now get this, young folk. Some of you may not know this. But when a dog has pups, in order to wean the pup off of the milk, you know what the mother does? She eats some food, and then she vomits it so the pups can get used to solid food. Now, that's okay. That's kind of what we do. I take the meat of the word, and then I break it down so you can put it into action. I give you that milk of the word. I just strain that word and give you the fundamentals so you can grow. And a pup does the same thing to her. A mother does the same thing to her pup. She eats the food that's solid, and then she throws it up, and then the pups come back, and they eat it. That's natural. But what's unnatural is when the pup becomes an adult. The pup becomes an adult dog now, and it goes and eats something that didn't set well with the dog, made the dog sick. And guess what the dog will do? Do like we do oftentimes. Throw it up. Vomit. Right where they at, in the yard, in the house, in the car. But see, we have the mindset that when vomit happens from up, we clean it up and discard it. But you know what a dog will do? A dog will vomit it, but then see what they threw up as being a source of food. And they'll go right back to what they threw up, what was not good for them. And then they'll just lap it up. They'll just lap it up and eat it again. Even though it made them sick, ill, it was no good. They'll throw it up, then come right back to it and eat it. Kind of graphic. But he's describing what a fool does. See, the vomit represents what God delivered you from. What God took out of you. Helped you to stop doing. Transformed your life. But when you go back to doing what God delivered you from, time and time again, it's just like a dog eating that vomit. And that's the picture he puts before us. That's foolish. When God delivers us from something, he doesn't want us to go back and partake of it anymore. Yeah. We don't need to have that dog mindset or mentality. Once God brings you out of something, don't go back to it. He brought Lot and his wife out of Sodom and Gomorrah and told them, don't even look back. Not even to go back, but don't even turn around and look back. But if you look back and go back to doing to what you used to do, that's being in a backslidden state. And you're doing just like the dog does when it vomits. And let me tell you something. Isn't it amazing how something that's not good for you can be appealing as if it is good to you? Y'all know vomit stink. It smells. is rotten. Rotten food. And that dog go back and lap it up. But when a saint goes back to doing that dumb stuff, going back partaking of something rotten, there's no good. They got to remember, I don't know where their mind was, but it's making them think that something that's killing them is actually helping them. Because it's only pleasurable for a moment. But when sin kicks in, it's going to birth death. And so the Lord is saying to somebody, matter of fact, saying to all of us, don't you go back. Don't you go back to what you used to do. It's foolish, and if you do, you're just like the dog that's returning to its vomit. I can't go back. Sometimes I feel that pull, I get tempted, but I got to remember, that ain't good for me. That's what was sending me straight to hell. That was messing my life up. And see, from time to time, saints need to be reminded. Don't you go back. Don't you have that dog mentality and go back to what God brought you out of. And the indication to me is, based upon the message, is that either some have started going back, looking back, or thinking about going back to some stuff. Heed the warning. Heed the warning. Don't have a dog mentality. I got to conclude with a verse. Y'all ought to help me say, don't have a dog mentality. Y'all go to Galatians. Lord have mercy. I'm getting ready to end it on this. Galatians 5. He delivered you from it. Don't go back to it. Don't draw back. He bought you out of it. I want you to look at how Paul says it in Galatians 5:1, and then we'll be done. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us, help me, free. Y'all didn't even read it like you excited. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. And do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. See, he's telling you what's going to happen if you go back to what God delivered you from. You're not going to be free. You're going to be entangled, and you're going to have a yoke of bondage. I always keep that in my mind when I'm tempted to do things that I used to do. Man, if I go back to doing that, I'm going to be a slave to sin. I'm going to be in bondage. I'm not going to be free. I'm not going to be happy. I'm going to be faking it when I come to church. I'm just going to be miserable. And so I can't go back. Even though sometimes I feel that pull. Even though sometimes it be talking to me. You got to fight that off. You got to get in prayer. You got to keep confessing the word. You got to hang around the right folk so you don't go back to what God bought you out of. You got to remember that dog and that vomit. And say, I am not going to have a dog mentality. How many understand and receive the teaching? I'm going to stop right there. Let's give God a hand clap for that lesson.